just like we all are aware of this fact, that there are two worlds, there are two realms, there are two places. One is the dunya that is in front of us, that we see and within which we are present. And one is the dunya of the akhirah, the hereafter, where we have to travel to, where we have to go to. Now our qiyam, our staying here is temporary. It is temporary. And the dunya akhirah, the hereafter, where we have to go to, it is a permanent place, a permanent abode, a place where we will stay forever. And it will be permanent, ongoing, and will never end. We need to understand that we are guests in this world, and in the hereafter, the life in the hereafter, the places of the hereafter, we will stay there forever. So temporary here and forever in the hereafter. Two worlds, two places, and they are linked to us very closely indeed. Now this world that we live in, this world, within this world there is a very precious thing, a very valuable asset that we need to identify, recognize, and which will benefit. It is dunya and akhirah. And in the dunya and akhirah also, there is something that is very valuable indeed. What is that? In the world, there is nothing more valuable than that item. And in the akhirah, the hereafter, there is nothing more valuable than that item either, asset-wise. So in both maqams, both places, the world, this world which is temporary, and the hereafter which is permanent, Allah Ta'ala has kept this thing valuable, extremely valuable, most valuable, that which we cannot compare against. In the world, in the dunya, in this dunya, we, if we look around and we see our nafs, our desires and the tariqah, the methodologies, the things that we do, our practice, our nafs, our base desires, for example, it has made everything in the world, material-wise or even other things, as very valuable indeed. Yeah? For example, a house, cash, promises, commitments, desires, aspirations, kingdoms, ownership, many, many things you can look at, whether they're physical or non-physical, everything that's spread around the world, and big places of interest, etc. And we consider everything that, and beyond that, as very valuable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the most valuable thing in this world, if you gather the whole world together and gather it again, and gather it again, the whole universe and gather it again, and that item that Allah ta'ala says is the most valuable in the universe, that those things, if you amass the universe and many times over, are not even an atom's weight compared to that item that is the most valuable. So what a big deception in front of us. A big deception. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, is saying that this is the most valuable thing. What we consider to be the most valuable, you can amass it, and amass it, everything in this world, everything in this universe that is contained within this world, collected second time over, third time over, multiplied four times, five times, six times, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has told us, Allah is the Creator, that this thing I am telling you is the most valuable, and the dunya, the universe, many times over cannot compare to them. What is that? That's the most valuable, my friends. That is Iman. Iman. The wealth of Iman. The wealth of belief. What is it? Iman. Say it loudly, Iman. Now we realize what is Iman. And why don't we identify this and recognize this? Because we've just got it automatically, isn't it? Like inherited it, haven't we? We don't realize the value of Iman. And this is the most valuable asset in this whole universe. You can sift through everything. The most valuable thing is Iman, belief. Belief. Now if we go to the Akhirah, there's also a very valuable asset. Allah Ta'ala has decorated the hereafter, Jannatan. Jannah. Jannah upon the other Jannah. Paradise upon the other paradise. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decorated the hereafter, and Allah ta'ala has mentioned them, defined them. Allah ta'ala says, I've told you so much about paradise, but you cannot imagine, and imagine so much, and beyond that, even then you cannot imagine what is thereafter. Allah ta'ala says, I've explained to you from Quran, Hadith. If you understand that, even that's good enough. What's beyond that? Allah ta'ala says, the had, the limit is so much that you cannot understand. Your brains, your mindsets can understand. When I prepare you and take you to the hereafter, then you will be able to only absorb what is in the hereafter, because now you cannot. Allah Ta'ala says, you have to go, I have to go, into which I have to go, you have to go. Say Alhamdulillah. Say it again, Alhamdulillah. Massive point. Just a few moments. That's it. What was it? Where was he living? Where's he gone? Oh, he's gone. Oh, he was here. Oh, he was in the hospital. Where's he gone? Don't know. Passed away. Within seconds, individual disappears. That's it. And then that coffin, the box comes and the whole box disappears. You have to go, I have to go, we all have to pass away. And it will take seconds. Seconds. We won't even realize at that time that we've left. When was I lowered into the coffin? When was the coffin thrown down into the grave? And the soil was thrown back over it. And this is how quickly this world moves. And we consider it so beautiful and unparalleled and great and don't even think about it, we say. But the dunya Allah Ta'ala defines in the Quran, Surah Waqiyah, Surah Ar-Rahman, such verses Allah Ta'ala has sent to us. And in many places Allah Ta'ala says, what can I tell you? What is in store? What is the dunya? What is thereafter? We have yaqeen in this, don't we? We do. Yes. So, what a big point this is now. That we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of the things of the hereafter, the rewards, Jannah, paradise, Allah says, but what I define as valuable, Allah says, that gather all of paradise together and get more, and put more paradise together, and more poor paradise along with it. But Allah Ta'ala says that even that cannot compare to this asset which is the most valuable. And what is the most valuable thing? Allah, who is this for? This is for you, Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, Ashad, and the person who says, Ashad wa la ilaha illallah wa ashad wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Or Ashad wa la ilaha illallah wa ashad wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan rasuluh. What a great kalama, great affirmation of faith. Affirming faith. Within a second, a person, he could be burning in hellfire, or he could be worshipping something strange, or he's burning for 80, 90 years, or 80 years in the life. This is God, worshipping other things. Allah Ta'ala takes that out of the person's heart and puts the kalama, the shahada, the oneness of Allah into the heart of the person. He gets to paradise and he becomes the rightful owner of that reward of the hereafter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. The Jannah, you can gather many paradise together. Many, many places of paradise together, but they cannot compare to this valuable asset. Because the person who says that, Allah, this is for your sake, say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. How great and valuable. And what is that thing? In the world, what is the most valuable thing? What's the most valuable asset? Yes, Iman. Ha, mashallah. You're not sleeping away. So in the world, Iman is the most valuable thing. And in the hereafter, what's the most valuable thing? Aha. The most valuable thing of the Akhirah, the Prophets, the Nabis, everybody will be desperate for this in the hereafter. Everybody will be in a line, and that is the vision, the visibility, the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say subhanallah, say subhanallah again. To see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no greater valuable thing than this. All of the people of paradise will forget paradise. When they see Allah, when they see the vision of their Rabb, their Lord, they will forget what was Jannah, what is paradise. They'll be so happy and so engrossed in Allah's Jamal and Allah's Kamal. Imagine those eyes that will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which the hadith states that create that capacity, create the desire, the passion that we will see Allah. And every person of Iman will see Allah. Because Jannah, paradise, subhanAllah, is for the people of Iman. The people of belief, the person who will have Iman, Alhamdulillah, then he will benefit from the Iman. He will benefit from belief. And there will, so many people have gone into the grave. So many people we know have gone into the grave. Look, and in the graveyard you can see so many piles and so many rows and columns. When you stand in the corner of a grave, you say, is this person's grave? Is this person's grave? After 6 years, after 8 years, after 9 years, if you visit your village, you'll be amazed. You'll see like that village has gone underground and other people have come in. Amazing. I had to go once to a graveyard after 8-9 years. And I couldn't see the houses, I couldn't see the people. I saw new faces, new people, and young people. I said, where are all those people? Used to be, they said, Hazrat, everyone has gone, they are buried underneath the surface of the earth, and these people have come out. I said, but they used to play with us, sit with us, walk with us, talk with us. Where have they gone? Where have they disappeared to? Where have they disappeared to? Where's that man gone? This person, I used to say his name. I mentioned the names, and there's no sign of that person. And we're looking for the people. He said, you can look for them, come with me. And this is the reverse. He said, come with me, straight to the graveyard. He said, let me show you their graves, the signs of their graves, that they are buried here in their graves. And this is our reality, my friends. This is our reality. What a big point. What a big learning. So this is the life. This is the reality of life. And dunya, subhanAllah. So what's the most valuable thing? Iman. What's the most valuable thing in the hereafter? The sight of Allah. And both things are linked to what? The person of Iman will go, isn't it? To the hereafter. And the Iman, the person of Iman will see. So look at the deep link between Iman and the sight of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what Iman do we need? What Iman do we need? Here, we need to think about this right now. There are different types of Iman, strength of Iman. There are different positions of Iman. Different categories of Iman. I'll give you an example using the moon as an example. That what is the condition of Iman? Because we see the moon, don't we? Yeah, we can't see it here sometimes. It's not easy. Everybody's seen the moon, isn't it? You've come from countries, in localities, in areas where the moon is visible. And mashallah, in poetry, you've heard about the praise of the moon. And poets, they praise the moon a lot, isn't it? Now, if we see the conditions of the moon, sometimes the moon is in a condition that you want to see the moon. And you're opening your eyes wide and looking. Everyone in the world is trying to look for it. It's there, but we can't see it. Subhanallah. The moon is present. It's present. It's coming. It's newborn. Everybody knows that today the new crescent of the moon will be visible for Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha or for Rabiul Awwal or for this Islamic month. Everybody knows. Everybody's looking for that moon to see the crescent of the moon. To see the moon. People on their rooftops, on the rooftops of the masjid, on the minars. I'm taking you back. Sometime here is a different system. We've got science and technology, but that was the moon that people used to look for physically. And then the fireworks would crack, and it was a beautiful sort of feeling when the moon would come out, the new moon. The moon's there, but it's not visible. So what will happen eventually is that somebody will see the moon, and somebody, Allah Ta'ala has given vision to that person. Everyone, all the eyes are open, everyone's looking for the moon, everyone stood, can't see it here, there, left, right, west, east, north, south. What a valuable thing we're looking for. And then eventually somebody will see it, I've seen the moon, I can see the moon, somebody exclaims. So that's one position of the moon, isn't it? Totally hidden, but just one part of the arc is visible. And then, for example, it continues, just like the date palm, it increases. So the moon increases due to the cycle of the month. The light increases. It gets to that point that is called the total full moon. The full moon, yeah, the 14th. Yeah, the 14th of the month. We call it the night of the 14th. The full moon is visible. In its entirety, when we see that moon on the 14th night, what does the moon on the 14th night do? Allahu Akbar. The whole night, the darkness of the whole night disappears. That the moon, it eliminates the darkness of the night. The moon says, how can you hide away, O darkness? Look, let me put the glow on everything. And the night says that nothing can be hidden. When the moon spreads its light, then the whole world sees everything visibly. Everything is clear and visible due to the light of the moon. The small thing that's hidden due to the darkness of the night, the moon will make that visible, make it apparent. Subhanallah. So the light of the moon, it spreads throughout the whole world. Noor ala noor. If you go and see, for example, on the banks of an ocean, you see the moon on the 14th night. And when the light of that of the moon comes on the ocean, on the shore, somebody sees that, and he sees that, subhanAllah, such the light of the moon is spread, that just like it's silver, it's like a whole blanket of silver has been spread out, a beautiful sight. And if we see this, subhanAllah, that if the moon, its light, it's shown, then all of the jewels that we see during the day, that they're spread out. But as soon as the moon in the night, it comes out, and all of the jewels, the small zarat, you know, like the little pearls and zarat that we see in the night, they're twinkling and glowing. It's like we've thrown the beautiful rubies and precious pearls across the world, the surface of the earth. And the night time, the eyes, they see this, and subhanAllah, this is the glory and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the effect of the light of the moon. Why? Because it's become the full moon on the 14th night. Because it's the night on the 14th moon, or the night, the moon on the 14th night, and it becomes, and everything in the world becomes beautiful at that time. The moon is beautiful, and it makes the world beautiful on the night, the 14th night. So do we understand this? And I'm giving the example of what? Why was I giving the example of the moon? To understand what? MashaAllah, you understand, you, my good students, you are who understand what I'm saying. So Iman is also the same. Iman is also the same. Just like the moon, mashallah, it's small but there's value. You can't hardly see it, but everybody's running after it to look for it. So Iman is the same. Maybe small in weight or amount, but the person who has Iman runs after Iman. Once Iman, Iman increases, just like the moon, it develops and grows. And when the Iman becomes Kamil, then the person says he's complete. He's termed as a complete person who's got Iman complete within the heart. So what do we need? We want Allah Ta'ala's vision. What type of Iman do we need? To see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the Kamil, the complete Iman. We don't want broken down Iman, weak Iman. We won't see Allah with this, will we? So do you understand what I'm saying? That the Iman which will be Kamil in the hereafter. What a great thing. That the Iman in the world, what is the greatest Iman? Which is Iman-e-Kamil. And the Iman-e-Kamil in the world is the most valuable thing in the world. And what do we need to do to have in the hereafter to see Allah? Is to see the vision of Allah. So if we have Kamil Iman here, complete Iman here, then everywhere in the hereafter will be enlightened due to our Iman, our belief. Alhamdulillah, there will be light upon light. There will be no darkness in the hereafter for us due to our wujud within us, the light of our Iman. And when we have this Iman in the hereafter, it will spread the light out so we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala's glory, full glory. So both nur we will attain. The nur of Iman in this world, the Kamil Iman, and we will see the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll see both oceans will be attained. Do we understand this? So what do we need? We need Iman e Kamil, complete Iman, complete Iman. So my brothers, now how do we get Iman-e-Kamil? There are two things. That normally, for example, the person who understands these points, the signs and the lessons of the Qur'an and the hadith, and maybe I've narrated this hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, Allahumma ahabba ilayna iliman. Who stated this? The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sarkari Madri, the master of Medina, who wrapped himself in his blessed blanket, and the master of the two worlds, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is saying to his ummah in the form of a dua, in a prayer. It's a message, it's a learning that Rasulullah taught us, that if you want to make something beloved, O people of Iman, then make one thing beloved and become lovers of that one thing and give yourself totally to that thing, and that is Iman. Iman. Assign yourself totally to Iman. Try so hard, make so much effort to have love with your Iman and to increase your Iman, that when you ask Allah for something, ask Allah for Iman. Allahumma ahabba al-Iman ilayna. That Allah give us the beloved thing in your eyes, the most beloved thing. And what is that? Allah give us the love of Iman. Allow us to have love for our Iman, care for our Iman, affection for our Iman, total connection with our Iman. So we can strengthen. Wa zayyina fi qulubina fil Iman. Subhanallah. And so much Iman, make us so strong with Iman that our heart and the desires within our hearts and the decoration of our heart and the beauty of our heart totally make it with our Iman. Allah give us this benefit. Such an Iman that our heart starts to glow and shine and sparkle due to the greatness and the cleanliness and the beauty of our Iman, of our belief. So brothers, those who understand this word or these words that Rasulullah ﷺ told us this, explained this to us, that Iman is a great, great asset. And we should have love with Iman, isn't it? We should love Iman and regard Iman. Because Iman, we should have such a high, high level of love with Iman that we shouldn't have love for anything else more in the world than Iman. Because what will give us success? When we have true, solid Iman. Which Iman? Say it loudly, Kamil Iman. Total and complete Iman. That's what we need. So, the person who understands this, what did we try? How did we try in the world? What did we run after? What did we try to do? What effort did we make? So if we understand that to make Kamil Iman, our Iman complete, that will give us success, then we start to love our Iman in this world. And all of the defects of the Iman we remove and eliminate, and we work hard all the time to clean and purify and make our Iman great. Allah Ta'ala has praised those people. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, the Quran praises that those people, sometimes they've been ruku, in prostration or bowing during the hours of the day, during the hours of the night, they would be in one pastime occupation to seek out the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, sometimes you see them in ruku, in bowing, in prostration, in the middle of the night, in the hours of the night, they've got hunger and thirst, without, they have no clothes, and in every condition you see them shaking and trembling in one focus, one objective, Allah your radha, Allah your pleasure, Allah become pleased with us, Allah strengthen our iman, seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Quran, isn't it? Surah Fath. Yes, and then Allah Ta'ala says that Subhanallah, fi wujuhihim min athar as-sujud, that Allah Ta'ala says that their iman will become so kamil at that time that from their faces you will see the iman dripping, the ibadat, their sujood, their ruku, their tilawa, their asking Allah, their begging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their testifying, and everything of their life and their body will testify. Maybe their clothes will be torn, no food to eat, and broken down shoes or sandals, no makeup, nothing. They won't have no soap to use, but subhanallah, when you go past them, you will smell the beautiful fragrance of their iman, and nothing in the world can compare to them. And on their faces you will see the husn, the beauty, the spread, and you'll be like that, the whole of the beauty of Jannah has come onto their face, kamil iman, complete iman. And mashallah, that when you see those people and you imitate those people and you follow their guidance and footsteps, and those people who will stand in on the day of Qiyamah, who understood that what do we need to love? We need to love our iman, we need to make our iman. What do we need to do in this world? We need to make our iman proper, exactly strong and firm. And those people who follow this message, and their name will be Awliyaullah, Kutub, Abdal, Ghaus, everyone who is termed, given these definitions, because those people who loved the iman and made the iman and strengthened the iman, they are Sahabi Rasul, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these people who in the world, they worked on perfecting the iman, and when they will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will go over all of the obstacles and the hurdles, and they go straight into Jannah due to the kamil iman. There'll be in one way that they can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them there'll be no hardship, Allah ta'ala says, subhanallah. And the other people, who will those people be? Allahu Akbar. Those people who didn't take this message, they don't know, is there iman something? Is there something that will give us benefit? Is iman something to love, to cherish? What is this, they'll say? What is this that we have to love iman? So those people, that they will love the cars more. One car, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allahu Akbar. That those people, they will love a new car that they will have bought, second-hand car. That for them is more beneficial. Why? What will they do with that car? Yes, they will take it to the car wash, they will wash it with the wax, with the turtle wax, they will give it chamois leather, they'll glow it, make it shine and sparkle, they won't let a scratch come on it. And if again something, a burr comes on it, or some defect, or a scratch or dirt, they'll wash it again. If they see it's raining, or if some splash come on it, as the tire become dirty. So for us, in our eyes, we have so much value for the dunya, that in comparison to iman, we have more value for our cars. Forget about iman. Forget about iman, that there's more value for the car. Allah, we look after the car so much that the rest of the things, that what about the rest of our life in the hereafter? That what is this the love of? This is hubbe dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So will those people be successful? Allah ta'ala says. So what is the status of iman for those people who are living in this position, that they give more preference to the car over and above iman? Allah ta'ala says. How? They say that, Allah, I am looking after my car, I don't let any dirt come onto it, I use wax and I use car wash lotions and cleaning agents, and I use the sponge, and I wash it with my hands, I take it to the car wash, I take it to the machine wash. So all of this, that if I have love for iman, then I would do more effort physically for my iman, won't I? And those people who did these things, the Quran has praised those people, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. And those who are doing it still, who have done it before us, and the world remembers them as the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, and they are their lives are understood today, and read and understood and taught, and education is spread out across the Islamic education world to learn about these people who are pious people in majalis, in gatherings. These people are spoken about and communicated about, and because mashallah they are alive, and when we speak about them, when we discuss them, we get thawab and reward, and the strength of iman increases, and we get love for them as well, that how they worked on their iman, on their belief. So this was the point. So we have never considered about our iman, I need to strengthen it, clean it, improve it. We worry more about our cars, it's dirty, I need to clean it, wax it, wash it, make it sparkle and shine and glow. But look at our lives. Physically, we are bowing now, we are getting older, our iman, it may be weak, it could be, our life could be full of the sins, etc. And the iman is weak and it's at a low ebb, and we are not strengthening it. Allah Ta'ala says, I hold the iman in very high regard, even if it's weak, because iman will give us the success in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala says, even the atom's weight of iman will not go to waste, even an atom's weight of iman is greater than the whole world and what it contains. Remember this point. Not just this, that our iman, if it's an atom's weight or a mustard mustard seed weight of iman, even then it is a great, great wealth beyond the wealth and the value of this whole universe. But what we're being explained to here is that our iman, why don't we protect our iman the way we should? Why do we allow impurities to develop on our iman? Why do we allow dirt to develop on iman? Why don't we clean our iman, improve our iman, look after our iman, protect our iman? Don't we want to attain the success with the iman? Otherwise the second point comes, Allah Ta'ala says, those who have worked hard on the iman in the world and they love the iman, direct they will go to paradise and they will be deserved of Allah Ta'ala's vision and sight. But those who have weak iman, small iman, low level iman, not complete iman, then Allah Ta'ala says that I've prepared for those people and direct Jahannam will be their destination. And in Jahannam, all of the dirt and impurities of their sins will be purified and they will then be brought to that maqam, the level where then Jannah they will be able to enter. So what do we want to do? Let's think. That do we want to go into hellfire for so long a time to be burnt and purified? Because this will occur. So iman will do the work. For example, in the hadith it is stated that there was a person and all he had was the iman, a mustard seed weight of iman, atoms weight of iman, and he'll be the final person in hellfire. Everybody will be taken out and taken to paradise before that, and he'll be the last mu'min because he had iman, even if it was less than the atom's weight. Even then he will be taken out. Eventually he'll be the final person to be taken out of hellfire, and then he will be given the bath, or he'll be bathed in the water of paradise, and then his face, his iman and everything will start to sparkle and glow like the moon on the 14th night. Because Allah Ta'ala says, you had the sins, you're punished in hellfire, because we cannot even for a second in the world persevere or bear the fire. And imagine how long that person will burn in the fire, because he has to come to that level so that his iman is kamil. So when he'll be washed with the water of paradise and his face will shine like the moon on the 14th night, then Allah will ask, have you come into Jannah? And he'll look for all ways and he'll say, yes, I've come. Allah will say, what do you want? And he'll say, Allah, please just give me a small room here so I can stay, because the place I've just come out from, that this is enough for me, that I've just come out of that place of hellfire. Before that, Allah Ta'ala says, when you came out of the world, well, how big was the world? He'll say, Allah, the world was very big. And Allah will say that, shall I give you such a world like that here? You say, Allah, such a world? Allah will say, yeah, I'll give you the complete. Shall I give you similar to the size of the planet Earth? Shall I give that to you here? I will say, Allah, you're so merciful, you give me that. Allah will say, if I give you twice that, you say, twice? Oh, you'll be unconscious. You won't even be awake. You just come out of hellfire. He'll be just rubbing his eyes. He'll say, Allah, twice? Allah will say, triple? Quadruple? He'll say, Allah, why are you playing games with me? Allah, joking with me. I've just come out of the hellfire. Allah, just give me the room. Allah will say, go, I've given to you. I've given to you. Subhanallah, I've given everything to you. Go, that your palaces are waiting for you. Why? Because Allah says, I have made your iman kamil, complete. You are now capable that you can come to see me, Allah Ta'ala says. So there are two things, my friends, two things that I want to explain here. That either in this world, we make other things more beloved and we don't care about iman. We love the dunya and material things and resources and assets of the world like we have before. And we forget iman, enjoy ourselves, eat, drink and be merry. No restriction, don't listen to Quran, don't listen to anybody's direction, don't read hadith. Just carry on doing what you want and follow your desires. But the coffin will come, death will come, nice high quality timber wood made coffin, and we'll be lowered into that coffin. And then the lid will be shut from ting, and then we'll be lowered into the grave and we won't have kamil iman. And then what will happen now? Then we'll be thrown into hellfire, into Jahannam. Then after that many a long period of time, then we'll be purified and taken into paradise. So is it not better that if we take heed today and realize, where am I? Where is my iman? Is it good? Is it strong? And where am I going? And then we start to protect and preserve and improve our iman. So should we do this or do we just stay sitting quietly? People who have intellect and understanding will say, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. I'm not improving my iman. That my parents passed away, my mother passed away, my father's passed away, and I will also pass away. The time will come. And who will be left behind after me? So I've seen such graves. I've seen such graves. The one person, individual, his wife passed away. And it was a big graveyard spread out for miles, a vast. His wife passed away. And after 50 years, because he was young when his wife passed away, and 20, 25 years, after 50, 60 years, the same man passes away. And seeking the grave, and straight right next to, it's miles wide, the graveyard. It's impossible this occurs. And what now? That his wife said, he was buried next to his wife, and the wife said, you came after 60 years next to me, isn't it? What a big difference. And yeah, both of them on their graveyard is written that this person, this name died in this year. When the man goes and looks and he's reciting Fatiha, he's amazed, the shock, the look at the gap between the death. And they met again after that longer time, these 40, 30 years, what would he have not done? Married, second time, children, this, that, life, earning. But where does the life end? Again in the graveyard. This is the life. And I've seen this with my eyes, the graveyard. I've seen these two graves myself with my eyes. So Allah Ta'ala shows these things, the signs, the reality. My brothers, let's awaken. Let's wake up. Let's be careful. Let's not look at our faces. Let's not look at things that we make fake. That our body today, the way it is, it wasn't like this 10 years ago. We were fit, more healthy. We had thoughts, I'll get married second time, then I'll do this, then I'll do that. 10 years, 15 years, let's go back. Let's rewind. Suddenly, and that generation will come, that where was I at that time? What was I doing? I was enjoying myself, and I had thoughts and ambition, and now 20, 25 years after, and we sat down, we're totally different. Is this not the case? Then? So what's this way? After 20, 25 years, have we ever paid attention to our iman? We're still stuck in that same trap. That same iman that is beloved for us. So everything in the world is beloved to us compared to iman. Iman is not beloved to us. Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that stand up, wake up, get up, wash your iman, purify your iman with the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given you dhikr, remembrance. What has dhikr been given to mankind for? Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, to sit, to remember Allah. Wherever we are, however we are, whatever we're doing, Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah SAW said, freshen your iman, purify your iman. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah SAW, how do we do this? And Rasulullah SAW said, morning and evening, do dhikr of Allah. Your iman will be made pure and clean, just like you take something to the laundry to wash. And fine, we're living in this world, and the world makes things impure. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, we're living in the world. And Rasulullah said to his companions, whilst you're living in this world, you will get dirty, your heart will get dirty, your man. Just like when you tread on water, your feet get wet. So Rasulullah said that this world is impure. And the dirt, the bad effects of sin due to your hands, your eyes, your ears, your feet, everything, there's this impurity, there are impurities there. But Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared such a cleaning agent, such a beautiful cleaning agent, a great cleaning agent, that only, just like in the world, everything Allah Ta'ala has given, lotions and liquids, etc., water. So to clean the heart, to clean iman, to purify iman, and to get Jannah, Allah Ta'ala sent from Jannah special one action that will give our iman the greatness it deserves, and that is dhikr of Allah. And imagine the Sahaba Ikram, they gave the haq to the iman, to their belief. Allahu Akbar, the Sahaba Ikram, the companions radiallahu anhum, and they had a strong capacity, all of them, that their bathing and their cleaning was unique. Because going to the company of Rasulullah and seeing the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad, when they would see one sight of the Prophet, their whole body and their heart and their iman would be cleaned at that, right at that time, in that one second. And what was their dhikr? It was the blessed sight of the face of Rasulullah. And it wouldn't take a second. They said, we couldn't be that for a second we don't see the Prophet. So they'd go quietly with adab, with humbleness and manners, because there was a hukam, the order for adab and manners. And these are in the Quran, the verses. And they used to be scared and afraid so much that they wouldn't speak from their lips. They felt like asking a question, but they couldn't ask. Many of them, great Sahabi, has Umar radiallahu anhu, has Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they felt the same. And all of the other Sahaba, they were similar. But even then, they said that we did not stop from one thing, that we kept on going to see the blessed face of Rasulullah, and we would keep our iman kamil. That we just look quickly, a quick sight, and soon as we see the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face, our iman, his blessed face, our iman would become fresh and pure. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us dhikr ilahi, the remembrance of Allah. So my brothers, does it make sense that Allah Ta'ala has given us strong water, purifying water, great opportunity? And Allah Ta'ala didn't say to us that you won't sin or you won't make mistakes. Allah says you will, but take hold of the action in parallel. The morning and evening, do dhikr regularly, so the sins of the day will be washed at the night, and the sins of the night will be washed in the morning when you do dhikr. And when you die, you will leave with kamil iman. So kamil iman equals what? That our iman, there should be no blot or dark spot on our iman. No dirt, no impurity, no splash from this dunya. No impurity from this dunya, no stench, no smell from this dunya should be on our iman. And where does it come from? From haram. Haram of the eyes, with the mouth, of the stomach. All of these haram things that are called forbidden. Allah Ta'ala says, don't go towards these. That none of this, no splash of haram should come into our life. No splash of rum. And to clean this, Allah Ta'ala says, do my dhikr. Kathiran kathira. I give you my ijazah, permission that you do my dhikr. Allah has given us such a great gift, the greatest ni'mat. Allah took it from the angels and gave it to us, the permission. Otherwise the angels said, subhanAllah, beautiful point comes to my mind. And this is like a couplet that's coming to my mind. Saying that when the angels were told prostrate, they said a unique statement. They said, Allah, how do we give sajda? That this qawm, which qawm nation is it that you are creating? Who will these people be? These people will kill each other and let blood flow. And we are doing your tasbihat Allah. So they mentioned Allah, that we are doing your dhikr, that we are dhakireen, we remember you. And they will do bad actions and sins. Allah says, you don't know that they will do more dhikr than you, more dhikr than you, subhanAllah. So this is the reality. So whose ownership was this? Whose property was this? Dhikr of Allah, was it the angels? No, the inheritance of dhikr, that this was the food for the angels. The dhikr is food for the angels. The Allah Ta'ala says their lives are dependent on dhikr. The angels who are holding up the arsh, the angels that are rotating around paradise, and those angels that are looking after hellfire at the same time. Every square millimeter, you will not see any angel that is not a dhakir. You will never see an angel that is not doing dhikr of Allah. They say, Allah, we are the dhakir. Why are you creating these people? Allah says, be quiet. You don't know what is dhikr. I will show you such a qawm of people that you will descend to the earth to watch them doing dhikr, hear them, listen to them doing dhikr. And now, even today, when the angels descend to the earth to gather in, to join in the gathering of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says the whole heavens, the gap between the heavens and the earth fills up. Even today they don't get the space. They say, Allah, you know best. Allahu Akbar. That you know best, that we came here, we didn't know that this was the glory, the greatness and the blessedness of dhikr of Allah. The angels will say, Allah, this was our food. This is our food. And Allah has been so merciful to us that to strengthen the iman of the people, Allah Ta'ala has taken from the angels the dhikr and given it to mankind. Great, beautiful point. And this is how we respect the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, and the angels will be amazed and shocked. Just like I grab something and take it off you and give it to somebody else. Isn't it? For example, I grab something from you and give it to someone else. So the angel said, Allah, you took dhikr from us and gave it to them. And in the masjid, they would be sat here, just a few people. There was nobody else. Just one jamaat, one group of people who formed and gathered. Alhamdulillah, even this is great. Even this great. Here, such a great maqam of being grateful for me and for you. That Allah, you are so merciful that you've instilled the love of dhikr into our hearts. In other words, Allah, you have allowed us to prepare for kamil iman. Say subhanAllah. So is this a small thing? Is this a small thing? That Allah Ta'ala gave the action of dhikr to the angels, the malaika, the greatest malaika. Those angels that are lifting up their arsh. Those angels that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. And today with our dirty bodies, we are sat down and we are doing dhikr of Allah with our dirty bodies. Look at the karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this dunya and the Allah on this earth, Allah Ta'ala has made our hearts focused towards Him, the Creator. And Allah, you've included us in those group of people, the dhakireen. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? Aha. So, this is the thing that we should be so happy about. And even if we give away so much of what we've got, this is not enough in comparison to having this gift of dhikr. My brothers think, my words are very straightforward and simple, but are full of fikr and worry and caution. This time will go, then next Thursday night will come, next Thursday will come, next night of Jummah will come, next night of Jummah will come. These will come and go, but listen carefully to what I'm saying. Do dhikr of Allah with regularity. Grab hold of it. This will make mine and your iman kamil, complete. Complete. Remember this point. Remember this. And it will take you to the highest levels. Okay, that's fine. I've told you before that sins will be committed. Allah Ta'ala, may it not be Allah that we commit sins, but the speciality of dhikr is that it washes, cleans, and then the disliking of sins comes into the heart of the person who does dhikr of Allah so much, his heart is clean that he starts to dislike the sins. So that's it. We need to grab hold of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's fadal and karam and mercy, alhamdulillah, that we've got Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So go and sit with the wali of Allah, serve him, go and sit in his service and say that we've come to learn dhikr. Please allow us to come to the masjid to do dhikr with you. Please teach us. This is a great mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a great favor of the wali of Allah that he allows people to come and sit in his gathering of dhikr. This is not some seller's marketplace or buying and selling. This is the wali of Allah's court, and the angels descend here and mercy of Allah ta'ala comes here. And Allah ta'ala, when the majlis finishes, Allah ta'ala announces that this is not a small thing coming to this gathering. These are all words of the Quran and hadith, I'm telling you. It's not a small thing. I'm not mentioned from my own mind or my opinions, etc. No, this is not the case. I'm not promoting my course or selling a product that I'm here, I'm going to be the leader of the group, etc. No, I have no link with this. No, just one teaching. I have no link with the recognition, but I'm giving dawah and fikr as a human being, on the basis of humanity. That if only this rock heart, this heart like a stone or a rock, in this environment, that heart that is very weak, and if such a beautiful plant can be sown and rooted into the heart, so that the fertility of the heart comes and it is shown, and the beautiful actions emanate forth. So my brothers, let's not consider dhikr as insignificant. We think of dhikr just like iman. Today we've realized the value of iman, and we consider iman as insignificant. Iman has no value. Well, I've got iman, I'm a believer. What is iman? How do I strengthen it? What's the value of it? What is its value? We don't even know. Ask the person who's dying, that what is the value of iman? And he will tell us that I wasted my time. Iman was a great, great thing. That I didn't even spend this note of Iman in the world. Such a big note currency that I've wasted it. Such a big note of Iman. SubhanAllah. What products of the hereafter, of the akhirah, a person can buy with a sincere and pure and great level of Iman. Imagine the things we can purchase in the hereafter. The person in this world has to make effort. It's a place of difficulty and issues and worries, and no problem. That's the meaning of hardship. Whoever is in more problems or hardships or difficulties or issues or worries, and he still remembers Allah, then in the same way his iman will be increased to the massive heights. Don't ever think that I've got night duty, I can't work in the day, I've got 8 hours duty, it's tough for me, it's hard for me. Say, no problem. If I do dhikr of Allah after this, then I'll be more greater in level than those people who do dhikr of Allah at peace without working. So Allah Ta'ala has given me the test here. He's given me the love for his dhikr. He's changed my condition and environment, and definitely Allah Ta'ala wants to take me to the heights, to the high level. So listen to this hadith. This hadith that comes to my mind, Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. That iman kamil, the sign of complete iman, subhanAllah. And this point I remembered, and this will give strength to iman, alhamdulillah. So the sign of kamil, complete iman is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to put people into difficulties, issues or trials. But if somebody has these things, Allah ta'ala takes the things that a person holds beloved. Money and assets and resources, and Allah gives us troubles and problems and worries. What can there be more beloved to us? We work 8 hours, we work hard and we're cold, and we're trembling and shaking. What's beloved to us at that time after work? The bed, the mattress. You don't even feel like eating. He says, oh, I'll just sleep today without you working. Straight after working 10 hours, if somebody's worked, stood up for 10 hours in the cold, picking up heavy objects, and since the morning is working, and his sleep is not being fulfilled. So what will that person do when he comes back home? Maybe you've got experience. That's why you're not saying it. Because everybody's those who sleep. But ask those people who are doing this now in their lives. Where do they run straight away? To the bed. To the mattress. Even the child, the children and the wife, he doesn't want to know them at that time. He says, let me sleep first with ease, and then I'll see you after a while. Isn't this the case? Yes. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if Allah ta'ala has given you problems or issues, trials, that everything in the world is looking negative, but straight away when you come through that day and you still have the problems, then say, I'm still going to do my tasbih. Just 10 times or 5 times do tasbih, shaitan will come and say, oh, you don't know dhikr is happening, you've closed your eyes, you're lying down, you're sleeping. Allah says, don't worry. Your dhikr is a very high level of dhikr, and your dhikr nobody can compare to this, and Allah will be proud amongst all the angels that you are doing dhikr and you're swaying because you're about to fall asleep, and you are taking the assets and the resources from the angels for the hereafter. Will we do this? Say loudly, inshallah. Don't ask about the reward, because these conditions and difficulties, who created them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who did Allah make the prince? Who? Allah. Who gave the kingdoms? Allah. Allah made somebody a king, somebody a prince, somebody a sultanate, somebody was given money, somebody factories, somebody's extreme wealth. Everyone's doing dhikr in a different way. But Allah Ta'ala makes somebody a laborer. He's tired and his body is totally broken down from the joints and everywhere. He comes home and sits down, he does dhikr of Allah. Who's greater, the king or the prince or the fakir, the dervish? SubhanAllah. So in the hadith is stated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make somebody aziz, when Allah Ta'ala takes something beloved and something that Allah Ta'ala likes away from a person, or he is immersed in a problem, or he's got a difficulty at that time, or such conditions arise, and that insan, that individual, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah Ta'ala's love, for Allah Ta'ala's nearness, for the sake of reward, and he perseveres and he bears and he has sabr. What is sabr? He does amal, he practices, and he doesn't fear. And that person, he has issues and trials and tests that Allah Ta'ala sends to that person, and he perseveres with sabr and he absorbs those issues. This is called sabr. And how? As I said, he perseveres. He doesn't complain. He doesn't make a fuss. He doesn't say anything negative. He doesn't do bad actions. Oh, why has this happened to me? Oh, why this and that? Why I've got so many problems? He doesn't do any of the sort. Rather, he accepts his condition and his issues, and he's pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, no problem. No problem. These conditions have come. These difficulties have come. These issues have come. And you have taken the beloved things from me. Allah, I'm pleased with you, Allah. I'm still happy with you, Allah. No complaint. No criticism. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if somebody wants to see Kamil Iman, then see the iman of that person. That has just been mentioned. And explain. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that with dhikr we decorate our lives, we spend our lives. Don't think dhikr is a game. Don't dhikr is a waste of time. Don't dhikr is a choice. I can do it or not, I can leave it. When death will come tomorrow, then when the last breath will be drawn out, then it will be high, if only I had done the dhikr of Allah. And then we will understand the importance of dhikr at that time. Let's do ourselves a favor and do dhikr of Allah regularly, properly, morning and evening. Brother, sister, man or woman, whoever's listening at this moment in time, that all of the words I've said today, for one reason, so we can understand the importance of dhikr of Allah. It's not a small thing. You do it one day, don't do it next day, do it, etc. No. Everything will be asked from us tomorrow. Everything. The deeds will be put there on the scale of deeds. The reasons due to which we'll have dhikr, the time, the business, the pastime, everything will be put on one side, that this is why you left the dhikr of Allah, Allah will say. And on the other side will be the iman of the person. And the iman, Allah will say that if you had held your iman in more importance than all of these other things that you were doing, running after, then you would not be struggling today. And those things will be put there. Allah will say, you left my dhikr due to these things, these money, this shop, this business. You left my dhikr for this condition, for this problem. You left my dhikr. Allah says, oh, human being, did you not hear the hadith? Did nobody give you the message? Did you not have a desire that awoke within your heart? Did you not have the desire or the aspiration to see Allah, to see me? Allah will ask that. And did you never think that, oh, I want to see my Rabb, my Lord in the hereafter? Did you never feel the fear that all the sins will be burnt in hellfire? But you were so engrossed in the world, so engrossed in your business, in the dunya, in the world, and you gave this preference to the dunya. You never thought, I'd sit down and do 10 tasbih in the morning, test 10 in the evening, and I'd keep on washing your heart and your iman. You didn't even have this recognition and identification. Allah will say that, fine, take your deeds away and take your dunya away. Now take the enjoyment of Jahannam, Allah will say. And this is what will happen. So brothers, let's take life seriously. Morning and evening, every morning and evening, we're doing dhikr in the masjid. Today dhikr is here, tomorrow is in masjid al-Taqwa, the next day will be masjid Aisha, and next time it could be in Medina, it will be in Makki masjid, and inshallah it will be in Medina as well. So in every masjid Allah Ta'ala has given his name, and the dhikr of Allah is happening in those masjids. Why do we waste time? We commit sins during the day and we do commit errors and have problems. So let's jump into the dhikr of Allah and purify ourselves, and then go back into the dunya and make this a pastime of our life. What's this? Oh, I can only come to one masjid. Will Allah Ta'ala not ask tomorrow that were your legs broken? You couldn't go to the other masjids? Was there pain in your hands? Did I take your eyes from you, or was your body detached from you? From your mind, from your brain? Tell me. No, you used to eat, you used to walk, you used to breathe, you had everything. Why didn't you come to that masjid? Allah will say, couldn't you come to that masjid? Did you not have a car? You had all of these resources. Allah says, if I took all of these resources from you and I gave you a stroke, or sealed your mouth, or your body was to be disabled and you couldn't do anything. And I've seen people like this. Unfortunately, the poor souls, they can't do anything. I went to see a person. It was a final moment. I used to give him dawah, invitation to dhikr. He said, Hazrat, please do dua for me at this stage. These were his final words. That I promise to you, Hazrat. I promise to you. He was a very rich man, very rich man. And he said, Hazrat, he put his hands together and pleaded on the deathbed in the hospital. These are the signs, my friends. And tears came out of my eyes. He said, I plead to you, Hazrat Sahab, I put my hands together. I have a request. The one dua do for me, please. That this time Allah give me health again. So I swear on the Quran, straight away I will come to your khanqah and I will do dhikr of Allah. And I started to smile. I said, may Allah take you to paradise, that's enough. And you got a few breaths left. And your desires are big. Every man has this desire at the time of death. That Allah give me this, give me time, give me another time. But the time has passed. Give me another chance, Allah. And then I've seen people just crying and shrieking. I said, where's your wealth gone? Your factory, your wealth, your assets. Where's all of that gone when you used to be big-headed? And now you're pleading hands together. And those days I used to put my hands together. Did I not put my hands together and say, do dhikr? Did I not beg to you and say, do dhikr? Yes, that come. That come for the sake of Allah. Come, take 5 minutes out. Second time, third time. You thought maybe that, oh, you're rich and he's trying to make you come to the gathering so that he can become rich. Well, no, I wanted to make you prepare for this time. And then he's crying. He was crying. He had a few breaths and he died. He passed away. So this is the life, my brothers. Why do we deceive ourselves? Why do we deceive ourselves? Dhikr, are you doing dhikr for my sake? Are you? That will I have the desire that come to me, gather together, big gathering, group? Is it my desire? That what? That I don't even like that I want to meet people. I don't have time to meet people. Allahu Akbar. That why don't I sleep with ease rather than meeting you? So this is the opportunity to meet now, the majlis, to listen, to share, to discuss. Put these words on your hearts, my friends, put these on your heart. I'm not a person of the dunya, I'm telling you straightforward point. I have no link with you, you have no link with me. Materialistic, dunya. Inshallah, that I will spread my hands out to you and plead. I spread my hands out to Allah and do dua, because Allah is the one who gives everything. May not be that you have to put your hands out and beg and plead. So Allah says, why don't you ask for me? Allah, I need 5 pounds. I feel like having roasted chicken today. Allah says, fine, I'll give it to you tomorrow morning. Watch. And I ask for 5 pounds for a roasted chicken, and the chicken cooked will come to me in the morning. If I have the yaqeen and the belief. Yes, the masses come. Why? Because Allah says, the makhluk, the creation, is in my control. We ask from the dunya, from the world, from people, because we have dunya in our hearts and dunya. We are the dogs of the dunya. We are dogs of the dunya. And the dogs of the dunya, this is how they attain their food. Let's become the gulam and the slaves of Allah and his abd, and he will give to us everything we need. There's nothing that can be a restriction in the world. That if we make a true, honest connection with Allah, Allah, I need this job. Resource, Allah says, I'll give to you, definitely. But now you've become my beloved. And you're asking from me. And you're not my enemy, you are my friend, my. So friend gives to the friend what is beneficial and good for that friend, isn't it? So I will accept your dua, Allah says. And Allah says to the servant, accept that I will accept your dua. But then I'll give to you out of my liking. You're asking for a son? And after 6 daughters, but you've become my friend now. And I know that what is good for you, I'll give you another daughter again. The 7th child will be a daughter. Allah says that I am your friend. So whatever your friend gives to you, accept it with happiness and spread out and give out the sweets. I've got 7 daughters now, mashallah. Allah has given me another reward. Don't make a face. Because you are the friend. That whatever comes from Allah, whatever thing comes from Allah, ask for it, definitely. But whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, accept it with happiness. For example, you love somebody so much, he's your friend, they give me 10 pounds. He goes, no, I'll give you 3. Okay, give me 3 pounds then. And you kiss that. Because my beloved is giving me 3 pounds, even that's a great thing indeed. Is this not the case? That my beloved is giving me 3, that's enough for me. So whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, ask what you can ask for. But when you fulfill the rights of the friendship, this is the haq of the friendship, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, subhanallah, say subhanallah. That Allah Ta'ala, what karam you give to me, what a good thing you give to me, I like this. That this was what I was asking you for, Allah. Subhanallah. So many things we could discuss, so much to discuss. Let's become Allah Ta'ala's friends. Let's take hold of the dhikr of Allah, pray as salah. Remember Allah, do the work of the deen, and recite the Qur'an, and pray tahajjud, and pray nawafil, and all of these good things. What beauty flowers in this beautiful orchard and garden flowers. But on the other side, we commit sins, banditry, and like gangster style, and lying, and fraud, and deceit, and backbiting. What a big difference in these two lives. That life is passing away as well, and this life is passing as well. So this 1.5 hours, your time is passing here as well. But where are you now? Where are we? We are in Jannah, in paradise. In paradise we are sat. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed words, which are haq, that when the majlis, the gathering of dhikr is established, it is the garden from the gardens of paradise. So how can I say that I'm sat in Bolton? I'm not saying that at this time. That I'm feeling that same enjoyment, like it is paradise. And another point I'd like to say at this moment, that Allah says that jannatan, double the paradise will be given. The Allah says, whatever paradise I will give. Here another statement I've presented to you. This is tafsir, commentary. I'm not speaking as I said, from my desires. This is in tafsir of the Quran. Allah says, two paradise, it comes in the Quran, isn't it? Allah says, two paradise, two abodes. And how will Allah give two abodes? Allah says, how? That there will be one in the world and him thereafter. Jannah in this world? In this world, Jannah? Allah says, yes, totally. Totally. There's a Jannah, a paradise in this world and one in the Akhirah. And the same enjoyment, Allah will say. Exactly the same. The same enjoyment of the world and the Akhirah. You will eat the fruit the same way. Allah, what is the Jannah, the paradise in this world? Allah will say, the Jannah, the paradise in this world. I give. What is that? The dhikr majalis. The gatherings of dhikr Allah. وَمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. What a beautiful tafsir commentary, that the person who does dhikr, he will get two jannah, one in this world and one in thereafter, which is waiting for him, and the enjoyment of both is the same. So when a dhakir dies, he knows that I'm being transferred from one paradise to another paradise. And this is the enjoyment that the dhakir has. Alhamdulillah, he forgets all of the sadness and the issues and the problems. When he sat in Jannah, the person doing dhikr in the world is not remembering his shop, wife, children, or anything else. We're just looking at each other and we recite, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is the best protector and provider. Recite Durood Sharif.